defending your freedom every single day. From the GunBroker.com studios, this is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Here's your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios begins right now. What an unbelievable day this has been so far. Let me tell you, I've lost count of how many interviews I've done today, both televised and radio. New York City, Channel 11, WPIX. Early this morning, I followed Representative Peter King on the New York City television news broadcast. Later today, I will be taping the Ledger Report. You will be able to watch me on One American News Network, 8 p.m. Eastern tonight, then followed again at midnight on Tuesday, the 6th. I will be on the Ledger Report with host Graham Ledger, talking about El Paso and talking about Dayton, Ohio. And no doubt we will be talking about Trump's comments today. I did the Bill Cunningham show earlier. I've been doing radio since 6 o'clock this morning. And I'm going to be honest with you. I'm tired, but not too tired. Let me talk a little bit about, I've got a lot to cover with you today, obviously, Trump's comments notwithstanding. But I want to talk with you a little bit about, first, the New York News interview this morning on WPIX television. I was listening to Representative Peter King. I was watching the news. I was watching their feed, for their television feed on the internet. And I was watching, or listening, I should say, to Peter King. They had a photograph of him while he was a guest on their program. They did the same for me because it was put together far too quickly to get to any studios. And I didn't want to do a ridiculous Skype interview at 7 o'clock in the morning in the number one television market in the country, nor did they, for that matter. So they had a photograph of me up as well. But I was watching Peter King, listening to him, and as they were hitting him from the left, if they were pitchers, they were both lefties, they were throwing him left-handed. And I expected that from the anchors, Dan and Betty. They were fairly harsh on Peter King. And he was on the defensive. He was back on his heels. And he was talking about how he supported background checks in New York and how he supports them in Washington as a Republican and how we need to do something. And I thought I was listening to a Democrat. Might as well be. Then they closed their interview out with Peter King as he was trying to, I guess, feeling under tremendous pressure when they turned to me. And I got to love that stuff, the anchor thing, the whole anchor thing. Hello, Dan. Hello, Betty. One of those routines. You know how the newscasts are, but they did the same to me. They hit me from the left on multiple questions, and at which point asked me why we need assault weapons, and I said it's not a matter of what we need. It's a matter of what we want as free Americans, and I choose to own several. But let's start with taking away. I said we've got to take this language back, you guys. It's not an assault weapon. It's a semi-automatic civilian weapon. It is not carried by troops into battle. It is not a fully automatic weapon of war. And we've got to start taking the language back. So I want to make that clear. I said, having said that, I have six of them at least. And I started to move in a different direction when Betty, the anchor, jumps in and says, well, hold on a second. Why do you need six assault weapons? I thought she was going to come out of her chair. Now, I couldn't watch her because I was doing the interview. And I couldn't see her, and I'm waiting for the clip. When I get the clip of my segment today, I will post it out on Twitter. And I should probably, I may already have it, but I've been so busy with interviews, I haven't really gotten to anything yet. So wait for me. Please be patient. Sometime after 5 p.m. Eastern time, when this program is done airing, I will have just a little bit of downtime before I do more interviews up through 9, 10 o'clock tonight. I'll be on the Jeff Rentz show again at, I guess, 9 p.m. And I've told the crew to stop with the bookings. I've got too much to do. And just so you know, on Thursday and Friday, I will be back out in Tucson with Kurt Schilling and AWR Hawkins for the campaign event for Brandon Martin for Congress in Arizona's 2nd District, which encompasses Cochise County and Pima County, part of that whole area. And the reason he's fighting a Democrat to win that seat back from a Democrat is because of the Tucson area. Kurt Schilling and I and AWR are going out there to speak at the event, tour the ranch down on the border, the John Ladd Ranch, and meet with the Cochise County Sheriff's Office and see if we can't help get Brandon Martin elected down there and take that district back and put that in Republican hands where it belongs. But nonetheless, it's been a crazy, wacky day. I will put that link up there for you. And don't forget, 8 p.m. today, the ledger, the Daily Ledger with Graham Ledger. Did I call it the Ledger Report? It's the Daily Ledger. I apologize if I did. My head's going, ay, 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 ay. I'm sure you can understand. Let's talk a little bit about what Trump had to say. Well, first, before I do that, let me give you a quick recap from the Monster broadcast. I want to go there. Alan Gottlieb returned in what I felt was an utterly fascinating conversation with Mr. Gottlieb, because there's a change in narrative here coming from me, coming from Mr. Gottlieb, coming from a number of us on the right relative to gun rights, those of us that are defending our right to bear arms from this hateful socialist-driven mainstream media pushing this gun-grabbing, hateful agenda and rhetoric and attacking me for the actions of a killer. And I won't stand for that. You can go listen to any interview I've done. I'm not going to stand for that. Doesn't matter who it is. I've used a firearm to defend my life, and I will never, ever back down from my right and your right to keep and bear arms. But yeah, I'm hearing that Peter King made me sick to listen to Peter King. But let me tell you what I told the anchors real quick. I said I have great respect for Mr. King. You know why? Because at least he's out there talking about it and he's not lying about it. At least I know who he is. He's a rhino. At least I know that. And he admits it. I have respect for that. Just like I have respect for Piers Morgan for telling us what he thinks about Americans' gun laws. You might not like one thing comes out of his mouth, but at least you respect him for telling you what he thinks. Far more so than these dopey politicians that are running. But I digress. So we go back to Alan Gottlieb, the changing this narrative and what is so vital. What do I mean by we're changing the narrative? We've got to take this language back, and it has to be a concerted effort, you included, not just me on a microphone or a television interview or a radio interview because I have access to do that, but you, just like I in my own personal life with people around me, family, friends, neighbors who might feel differently, we have an opportunity here in front of us to really grab the bull by the horns. Because Americans, I believe, and I'm sensing this shift, I'm feeling this, I know what my gut feels like, and I am sensing a shift here to people saying, wait a minute here, what in the world is happening? What is going on with these individuals, these sick, demented, perverted, twisted, psychopathic animals, evil, that at 21 years old, 19 years old, 24 years old, are taking out their rage? And where is this rage coming from someone that old? What are they so angry about? Why wasn't I that angry? I was a 17-year-old kid, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 20. Never in my life did anything like that pass through my head. Why? There are answers for this that are starting to emerge. It's what we talked about last night with Gottlieb. This is the changing of this narrative. It's a very complex issue, obviously, but patterns are beginning to develop here. These are not coincidences. And if you think a string of coincidences are just coincidences, I'm going to ask you to rethink that. Take a look back and realize, look, there is a pattern emerging here. And what is that pattern? What are we seeing? In virtually every single case, and I say this is a recent phenomenon of this recent phenomenon of mass murderers in America, because it's really after Columbine. You look back the past couple decades, Trump alluded to it in his statements today. What is it that we see? No one is shocked, with very rare exception, that this person would have done that. There's always somebody that says, oh, he was a wacko in high school. Oh, I'm not shocked he did it. We all thought he was a killer. Information is emerging from this nut job wacko in Dayton, Ohio, that he had posted hit lists on bathroom walls. There's a really chilling Facebook post from an individual who went to high school with him that said, you threatened our lives for years. I hope you rot in that body bag they put you in. So there were clearly signs. Same thing with Nicholas Cruz at Parkland. In every single one of these cases, we see this beginning to emerge. What do we do with it? How do we predict the future in this when everybody looks back in the past and says this about these evil monsters, these animals? These aren't human beings. How do we do it? Don't know. Don't have the answer to that yet. But we're talking about it now. There's other issues at play. I won't have enough time in this break, but I'm going to start the conversation with you and carry it through to the next, because we discussed this with Rob Pincus yesterday on Armed American Radio's Monster Broadcast, along with Alan Gottlieb. And that is technology today. What is it doing? Do you believe it doesn't have any impact here, that it's not a part of this? It is a part of this equation. I just did a wonderful interview down in Fort Lauderdale or West Palm Beach. I don't even know where, somewhere down there in Miami. Yeah, I know you're automatically defaulting thinking it was a left-wing hit job. It was not. The individual was asking legitimate, real questions about how do we penetrate this? What do we do? And I'll explain what I'm talking about when I come back. But technology played a large role in that conversation as well. I promise you, I wish it was a different subject, but a compelling conversation coming up. Don't go away.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today. You're in handcuffs. Your kids and spouse are crying as you're loaded into a cop car. But you did nothing wrong. How could this happen? You're the good guy. All you did was legally protect your family from an attacker. If you think this couldn't happen to you, think again. Fortunately, though, the United States Concealed Carry Association is there to protect you. Not only do they resolve these situations for their members, but they also prevent them from happening in the first place. With resources like their free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive. Learn what to say and what not to say in the aftermath of a self-defense incident. To get your free guide, 6 Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive, just visit BeTheirProtector.com. That's BeTheirProtector.com. Don't wait until it's too late. Get your free guide today at BeTheirProtector.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow, and like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you can move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever.
Get a 2-pack of my pillow premiums for $69.98. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or call 800-978-9358 and use promo code AAR.
For the best night's sleep in the whole wide world, visit MyPillow.com.
Tired of leather holsters not holding up to EDC? Wouldn't it be great if your holster fit multiple handguns? Let me tell you about 1791 Gun Leather. With 100% American heavy native steer hide, leather artisans handcraft distinctive 1791 Gun Leather into multi-fit IWB and OWB holsters. Order now and enjoy quality, versatility, and the pleasant leather aroma. Call 800-407-1791 or go to 1791gunleather.com for an affordable, distinctive holster that'll last a lifetime.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
This upcoming segment of Armed American Radio is being sponsored by GunBroker.com, the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammo, and related accessories. That's GunBroker.com. Welcome back to the show. Welcome back inside these GunBroker.com studios. We're moving through segment two right now. I want you to check out GunBroker.com. Sign up for an account. Did you listen to Patricia Huff yesterday? What a relief that conversation was. In the second half of hour two, talking with her about all the fun stuff going on at GunBroker.com that's coming up for you. Now, Patricia and I did not talk about the giveaways. We ran out of time, but I will tell you about them latter part of this week. But we're going to be doing range bag giveaways and everything else. So stay tuned for that. In the meantime, what we covered yesterday with Patricia for GunBroker was top-selling new pistols, top-selling used pistols, and top-selling revolvers for the month of July. Every month, this is going to be a new segment. What's selling? Next time we have Patricia on, we're going to talk about rifles. And we're going to do this every month. What rifles are moving on GunBroker? What costs are she gave us starting bid prices that were just off the chain. So participate. Have some fun. GunBroker.com. Go participate in over a million auctions a day going on over there. Patricia was just a breath of fresh air yesterday on the program, having to talk about these murderous, evil monsters. But talk about it, we must. So let's continue this conversation. I was talking in before the break about, I had to write it down because my emails and my monitors are going off like crazy in here. But nonetheless, we were talking about that interview I did in Florida, down in South Florida. I believe it was West Palm or Fort Lauderdale. When the radio host, like-minded guy, fairly conservative guy, gun rights supporter from what I could gather, I tend to think he was walking the line a little bit. Brian Mudd, the news guy, you know who he is. He's a super guy. I've been on his program before. He's a conservative guy, from what I can gather. But he was asking legitimate questions. What are we going to do here? What? And my responses to this is, we don't know how any of this is going to play out yet. We simply don't. We have to admit that we are in the midst of something here. And his deal was, we're having to readjust as a nation here because of this. But he was with me along these lines. We talked about a conversation I had with my children today. I want to have it with you. I've already mentioned that this, and you know, that this didn't happen when you were a kid. What's changed? Last night on the MonsterCast, we discussed in great detail with Mr. Gottlieb and Mr. Pincus some of the things that have in fact changed. Alan Gottlieb mentioned to us a study. Vox has it out today. Go look it up. Go to the left-wing website and look it up. 25% of quote-unquote millennials, and I hate these stupid labels, but that's what they use. You know, mid-20s up into mid-30s. 25% of the respondents, I don't say 25% of millennials, 25% of the 1,800 people that responded admitted to having no friends. Having no friends means having no human contact. Having no human contact means you're spending way too much damn time in front of a computer. And what are you doing on that computer? You're finding everything out there that reinforces your belief system because you can do that. I promise you, you're not going out and reading the other side. You may not be either. But as you begin to do this over time and you don't have any friends, and maybe you're angry, maybe you're in school, you don't have any human interaction, this is how people begin to become radicalized. Donald Trump alluded to it today on the internet. He was absolutely correct about that. Don't discard this stuff. This chapter of our history is being written now. We don't know the outcome of this yet. And that's kind of frightening, isn't it? We don't know the outcome of this yet. But what we have to be is smart enough to step back and look, okay, what's happening here? We got to get out of this rhetoric bubble over here from the left, even from the right. We've got to get out. We've got to step back and we've got to look. What the hell is actually going on here? So I asked my kids about this morning before they left for school. Obviously, this is a topic of conversation at AAR Ranch because of what daddy does for a living. My son just started high school last week. My daughter, junior. So we're talking about this morning, and I said, do you guys remember, because my wife mentioned when she was making their breakfast this morning, she mentioned, do you remember going to see the kids for lunch when they were at the elementary school? Oh, it was a ball. I'd go there and meet my daughter for lunch. I'd check in and go sit walk in the room. She'd be 5 years old, 6 years old, and it was just a hoot. I'd go up and get the school lunch because I love cafeteria food. My daughter would sit there and open up everything, and I'd sit there for lunch with her. You'd look around the cafeteria and it was dotted with other parents there every single day. One day my wife would go. Then one day I'd go have lunch with my son and a different lunch period. And we had a ball with them. But the cafeteria You needed ear protection, hearing protection. It was so loud. All the kids having a great time. You had the lunch ladies walking around telling them to be quiet, walking up and down the aisles. I was like, oh, come on, let them go. They're kids, man. They're cutting off and blowing off some steam before they go back and see the school moms, right? But that's what it was like in the elementary school. And I hadn't thought about this before until today, really, after I started giving some thought to what we were talking about on the Monster Show and what I had, a couple conversations I had already had on the radio between 5:45 and 6:30, 7 o'clock already, Eastern time this morning, before the kids even gotten up. And that's when I asked my kids, I said, I do. It was a blast, huh? And I do remember that. It was a lot of fun. I looked at my son. I said, what's the cafeteria like in the high school? Because it started dawning on me. Let me ask this question. My son, who's only been there for 4 days now, this is his third day, I guess, today. And he says, it's quiet. My daughter, who's been there now, this is her third year, said, it's very quiet. It's nothing like the elementary school. And I said, tell me why it's quiet. Already knowing the answer, because every single kid in that lunchroom in high school is on a phone. What does that mean when they're on a phone? It means they're not communicating with the kids that are sitting there. You think this is a good thing? I can tell you right now, it's disastrous. Why? Because that's where kids develop interpersonal skills. It's where they learn societal rules, how to interact with other people, people they like, people they love, people they hate, people they dislike. When a room is silent, there's a problem here. Now, right now, some anti-gunner's driving down the road or tuned in at their house and thinking, oh, look at this idiot, this gun nut, talking about how it's because of cell phones in high schools that this is happening. I'm not saying that. I'm not placing blame on that. I'm saying it's a part of the puzzle. It absolutely is a part of the puzzle. When I was in high school, just like when more than likely when you were in high school, what were we doing? This is the conversation I had with my kids this morning. We were talking to each other. The high school was loud. The cafeteria was loud. We were talking over other kids because we were communicating because we didn't have these stupid things. We weren't flipping our thumbs up all day with our backs hunched over with some claw-like appendages known as opposable thumbs, flipping through these stupid pages, communicating with some girl on the other side of the cafeteria. We actually got up and went over there and sat down and had a conversation. Remove that, and what happens? We don't know the answers to that yet. We're in the midst of it, but I am convinced that in 20 years, 30 years, God help us, I hope it doesn't take that long to figure this out, what kind of detriment this is. But it is part of the puzzle. I can promise you that. Oh, he was a real jerk in high school. Why didn't we know that beforehand? We're going to continue this fascinating conversation. Real life. I like talking about real life issues with you. When we come back here on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the gunbroker.com studios. I am Mark Walters. I am filling your prescription for freedom. I'll be back right after these messages. Don't go away. Email me your thoughts. Mark@armedamericanradio.org.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. But in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you, you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
We all hear the stories in the news. The good guy uses a gun to protect his family, and then he's the one arrested. Thanks to our court system, this happens a lot, and that's exactly what can happen to you unless you're fully prepared. But you're not alone. USCCA is here to help. Simply go to usccaonair.com to learn more about the education, training, and legal protection you need to become a responsibly armed American. With their education and training, you'll learn how to detect attackers before they see you, how to survive a mass shooting, exactly what to say to the police after an incident, and a whole lot more. With their legal protection, you'll get access to over $1 million in civil and criminal defense funds, the USCCA Critical Response Team, and a nationwide network of experienced attorneys. Plus, there's always a special bonus when you join. So head over to usccaonair.com right now to reveal what you can get for free today. It could be a free knife or even the chance to win a brand new gun. Just visit usccaonair.com to find out. Once again, that's usccaonair.com.
One warm summer day, Richard was grilling out with his family in the backyard of his suburban home. His brother stepped away to grab something from his car in the front yard and didn't come back. Feeling suspicious, Richard went to go check on him and was horrified by what he found. His brother was being beaten nearly to death in an attempted carjacking. Thinking quickly, Richard pulled out his gun and scared the attackers away. Then the police arrived, and Richard was arrested.
Are you freaking kidding me?
Pause there for a second. If this were to happen to you, would you know what to do? Would you know what to say to the police and what not to say? If you answered anything other than yes to these questions, you need to visit BeTheirProtector.com right now. There you'll find the USCCA's free guide, Six Things That Could Land You Behind Bars or Help Keep You Out of Them. Visit BeTheirProtector.com now and get your free copy of Six Things You Didn't Know Would Happen When the Police Arrive right now. That's BeTheirProtector.com. One more time, BeTheirProtector.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Back to Armed American Radio's Daily Defense with Mark Walters.
And we return. I love it. I just wish we had more time. This is a fascinating topic to delve into. There are these coincidences, these strings of coincidences, are no longer coincidences. Now, I've known that. You've known that. There's a pattern developing here. I've got to go back to a business partner of mine, a man who was a friend of mine for a long time. We don't speak that much anymore. But he made a very prophetic statement to me years ago, back in the early 90s when we began a business together. He said, these computers and this internet, and he held up what he had at the time. He was the only one that could afford it. His father owned the large business that I was incorporating underneath. And he held up a Motorola StarTAC phone. Do you remember the Motorola StarTAC phone? The flip phone with the little antenna, the gray one, they were like Star Trek stuff, right? And they called it the StarTAC. It was wildly popular at the time. It was also extremely expensive and very few people had them. But they began to become more and more popular. He held up that phone and he said, this, combined with these stupid computers, because this was the beginning of the internet revolution, he said, is going to be the downfall of our kids and the downfall of our society. You mark my word. And he was right. Now, 20 plus years later, 25 years later, we look back. I look back. I think about this. I don't believe any good is going to come from this as we continue to move forward. Unfortunately, as I've said, this is kind of the theme over the last few days, the genie's out of the bottle. You can no longer contain this technology. So what are we going to do now? Now we've got to understand, what is this doing to society? What is this doing to our kids? I asked Rob Pincus on the air yesterday, when was the last time you were at a college campus? My wife and I went to Kennesaw State University to see John Lott give a talk about a year ago. It was the last time I was on a college campus. I was beside myself when I left. I was angry when I left. In the common area, a little McDonald's and Starbucks and shopping and a look at convenience store and all kinds of cool stuff and a clothing store and a bookstore. And there were classrooms that dotted around the other side. It went into this big common area. Then it spilled outside into the beautiful grounds of Kennesaw State University in Kennesaw, Georgia. And I sat there with my wife and we were fascinated as we watched tables of three and four people. I discussed this last night with Rob. Sitting there completely ignoring each other, every one of them with their face in a phone. It was quiet in there with the occasional clanging of silverware and a coffee cup being put down. The usual noise, the ambient noise of the area. Very little conversation, if any, except for the sounds of people ordering food and drinks. We walked outside and we looked out on the campus. I've told you this on the show before. And here were all these college kids walking around with their faces buried in phones, their shoulders hunched down, using these two appendages that we used to call opposable thumbs. Here comes some guy with a beautiful girl. Is it his girlfriend? I have no idea. His sister, you'd never know. They weren't even talking to each other. They were just walking down a sidewalk. Dozens upon dozens of this. My wife and I looked at each other and cracked up. And I said, you know, there's nothing really funny about this. This is sickening, actually. These people are not communicating with each other. It was noticeable. What prophetic words from my business partner at the time. Really, truly prophetic. We don't know what's happening here, but we can surmise some things. We can make some generalizations, can't we? So I'm going to ask you questions. I'll ask you this in questions. Is it healthy, do you believe, for your children to have cyber friends or real friends? Friends in a video game that they meet online after school? Or friends that come home with them and play basketball in the driveway? Which would you rather have? Guess what happens all too often in today's day and age? Kids come home from school and play violent video games online with friends. They're killing each other. Or they're in teams killing other teens around the country. Teams of teens killing other teens on Fortnite around the country. Or any other of the first-person combat shooter games they're playing in teams. Extremely realistic. Now that same nutcase is saying, look, now he's blaming video games. I'm not blaming video games. I'm saying this is a part of the puzzle. Do you think it's healthy? Trump mentioned it today. These are things that we've talked about on Armed American Radio many times in the past. Lieutenant Colonel Grossman, who Rob Pincus mentioned on the Monster Cast, has been on this show on far more than one occasion discussing this very topic. Oh, no, video games. I talked about it on a radio program today. I said, look, guys, I too watched violent cartoons when I was a kid. Go back and watch some of them. Go back and watch Roadrunner cartoons, all right? I love the Roadrunner. Roadrunner, Roadrunner, no, 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 no. Remember? Go back and watch some of those. I made the comment. I said, look, I watched cartoons like that when I was a kid, but nothing drove me to go up on the roof and drop an anvil on my sister's head and kill her. When Rob Pincus made just another prophetic statement, he said, you know, part of this problem is when we were kids and we were pointing sticks at each other and pointing fingers at each other and we were playing guns and cops and robbers and bad guys, we were actually playing with real people. Our sister, in his case, he said, he used it as an example, he was playing with his brother. He said, my brother knew I didn't want to kill him for real. We were playing. And I knew my brother didn't want to kill me for real. But in these violent first-person shooter games, there's no one else there. It's fake. We've removed that personality out of there. So the child has no problem killing or murdering that person in the game, very graphically. And in some cases, games like, you know, whatever, what's the one with the car? Grand Theft Auto, these early original ones that came out, they're far more graphic today. Steal their car, murder them, and drive away. There's no personality there. There's no other person. And I got an email from someone today about yesterday's program that said, you know, and not only was Rob correct about that, but the personality that you're talking about, sometimes you were the good guy and sometimes he was the good guy. So you played the good guy and the bad guy. Growing up without friends, faces in video games and computers 8 hours a day, reinforcing whatever wacko belief in an online room, doing whatever you're doing for hours upon hours upon hours. Every single one of these murderers, this pattern is emerging. Is technology working to our advantage? I would submit to you, absolutely not. While it has tremendous advantages to it and allows us the opportunity to expand our horizons beyond our belief, it is also incredibly powerful and incredibly dangerous. In the hands of the wrong people, vulnerable people, this stuff is doing tremendous damage. Now, when you combine just those things I spoke about, this lack of personal interaction in very impressionable young minds at this age, a lot of firsts in your life, coming of age between 8 years old and 15, 16, 17 years old, as you begin to form into a young adult. And now, because of hyper-partisanship, in large part because of this, what we're talking about right now, I haven't even mentioned social media yet. I know that. Don't go there. I'm going there, and I'm going to go there next. Or I'll just go there now. Because when you can now you combine all of this together, then you put social media on top of it. Snapchat the kids are using, TikTok, Instagram. Everybody wants to be a YouTube star, baby. I want to be an Instagram model when I grow up. Everybody wants to be famous. And if they don't get famous or they don't have as many likes as somebody over there, as if the likes are real people, do you see this pattern developing here? This is not coincidence. Too many strings of coincidences are developing into very, very, very real and dangerous patterns. And we are seeing the result of some of this. It's an uncomfortable conversation to have, no question about it, but have it we must. America has to have it. We've got to start it from somewhere. I don't mind taking the lead on this thing. If you missed yesterday's show, go back and check it out. But we'll be back right after this.
We've all put ourselves in a potentially unsafe situation. Whether it's commuting at an odd hour, parking the car in that badly lit garage, or taking that nighttime run. So let's be real. We're not going to stop doing any of those things. The Taser Pulse Plus is here to help you approach every day with confidence and give you that backup if you ever need it. With an effective safety distance of up to 15 feet, delivering a 30-second cycle of muscular incapacitation, the Pulse Plus now has even more advanced safety features. It connects to the mobile safety app Noonlight to dispatch emergency services as soon as the Pulse Plus is triggered. No fumbling for the phone, no freezing up in fear. Pull the trigger and help is on the way. Protect yourself and your family with a leading brand in less lethal self-defense technology, Taser Self-Defense. Visit buy.taser.com and use the code AAR for 10% off the purchase of a consumer Taser device. That's buy.taser.com with the code AAR for 10% off.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
It's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. I'm Alan Gottlieb, founder of the Second Amendment Foundation. When someone says, we don't need that kind of gun, remind them the Founding Fathers determined what rights our Constitution should protect. There's a world of difference between rights and needs. It is not the function of government to tell us what we need or what we don't. Certainly no one needs an assault rifle or a Saturday Night Special, or for that matter, no one needs a Corvette with a high-capacity horsepower engine capable of speeds to 150 miles per hour. but in the hands of honest, responsible individuals, we have the right of choice. We have the right to read books others don't like. We have the right to listen to any radio program we choose. We have the right to dress the way we want to. We also have the right to own firearms of our choice. So the next time someone tells you you don't need something, tell them it's the Bill of Rights, not the Bill of Needs. Join the Second Amendment Foundation today so that this message and our Bill of Rights might live. Call 425-454-7012. That's 425-454-7012.
Celebrating 20 years in business, GunBroker.com is the world's largest online marketplace to buy and sell firearms, ammunition, and accessories. With over 1 million auctions daily, you can expect to find a limitless number of top brand names on GunBroker.com. Sellers, you can reach nearly 5 million registered users on GunBroker.com. And buyers, you can buy with confidence knowing GunBroker.com respects your privacy and is the only online marketplace offering buyer's protection. Buy or sell your next firearm on GunBroker.com today.
The Gun Box is the ultimate quick and accessible handgun safe, ideal for securing your firearm while not carrying on your person. Our cutting-edge technology and innovative safety features provide peace of mind while storing your handgun on a nightstand, desk, countertop, or anywhere you might need fast access. With a simple swipe of a finger, press of a custom key code, or the wave of an RFID card or fob, the Gun Box opens in seconds. Our modern design and sleek lines not only make it a great addition to any space, but is the perfect reason to bring your everyday carry gun out from hiding in the closet or the basement safe. Asking yourself, will my concealed carry weapon fit in the Gun Box? The answer is yes, as the Gun Box fits most full-size handguns with the room to spare for extra magazines, a blade, and other items you carry for protection. The Gun Box was designed to be your go-to gun safe and is absolutely the best alternative for fast and reliable handgun storage. Visit us at thegunbox.com and use code AAR at checkout for 10% off any purchase of $259. Order your Gun Box today at thegunbox.com and use code AAR for 10% off.
And now your host, Mark Walters.
Armed American Radio's Monster Cast. This is not the Monster Cast. See what happens? That's how busy it's been today. This is Armed American Radio's Daily Defense from the GunBroker.com studios. Oh boy, at the AAR office complex, the studio complex, if you will. Oh boy. So during the break, I answered a bunch of emails. I'm so busy. I've got so much to do later today. But if I got to tell you, if you want to watch me on television today, I'm going to be on the Ledger, the Daily Ledger with Graham Ledger on One American News at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific. Make sure to tune in to that. I told you that, I believe, in the first hour or the first segment of this hour. The Daily Ledger with Graham Ledger. I'll be on there. I don't know what segment they're going to put me in there in the slot, but you'll see me on One American News Network today. I'm looking forward to watching that myself. It's always fun to do programs like that, so I hope you enjoy that. Follow me on Twitter at AAR Mark. I told you I was going to talk with you a little bit about social media. I did go there a little bit, but I want to make a statement regarding social media to you that I think is very, very important. I no food or drink in studio. You haven't heard me say that in a while. I'll tell you, after a day like today, it should be bourbon, but it's not. It's water. Hold on. Yeah, I walked right past that no food or drink in studio sign. All you radio hosts out there that are listening, you know what I'm talking about. A worthless sign. Doesn't work. It's as worthless as a gun-free zone. Sign that says, no guns allowed. Let me tell you a little bit about Twitter. I was on WLW in Cincinnati today, big powerhouse station. I was on the Bill Cunningham show earlier, about 3 hours ago, 3.5 hours ago. And it was interesting. Gary Jeff Walker was filling in for Bill, who's off today. And I've not talked to Gary before. I've been on Bill's show a number of times in the past. But he did not know my history with Dayton, Ohio. He did not. And I made mention that to him and told him, hey, I was born right where I said. I know that area well. That's where my roots, that's where my DNA comes from. I was born at St. Joe's Hospital in Cincinnati, right down the road from where you're doing this radio broadcast. And my friends and extended family, all of my aunts, uncles, and cousins, to the tune of dozens. My mother had 16 brothers and sisters, has 16. I say had. My mother is still with us, thank God. But she had 16 brothers and sisters. Some of her older siblings are no longer with us. And most all of them had about 7 to 10 kids. I've got about 80 first cousins. I've lost count. But I have dozens of family members, cousins, aunts, uncles, and so forth, and extended family in Dayton, Ohio. I know this area well. Grew up my whole life going there. When I went to Thanksgiving dinner, that's where I went. When I went to a funeral of a family member, that's where it was. My parents went to high school. You know, I did the whole drive around thing. This is where we used to live. You know, this is where I went my entire life to visit my grandparents, was Dayton, Ohio. I know the area. I know the city. I know its people. And it's a wonderful place. And I look at what happened, and I look at, as we try to look at this from a different perspective, which we have to do to change this narrative, and I say, what kind of role does social media play in this? I talked with this with Gary a little bit on his program earlier today. And my measured reply to his question about social media, and it was measured, believe me, because social media is such an awful place. But I advised his listeners, if you don't have to have social media, Twitter, any of that crap for business, don't. If you're not a journalist, if you don't need this for instant, get out. If you're just a regular Joe, get out. The only reason I have it is because I have to. I absolutely have to because of this job, because of radio, because of my writing, because of the talk shows. I don't have a choice. And I can tell you right now, I would throw it out the window along with these stupid phones and throw it. I'd go home and throw it in a crick behind AAR Ranch down in Holler if I didn't have to have it. It is a vile, sick, twisted, hateful place where vile, sick, twisted people spew their vile, sick, twisted hatred. So my advice to you is, if you don't need it, don't get it. And we got to talking about the things that we were discussing together here in the first three segments or the last three segments of this program. This is segment four already. I hate that, but nonetheless, it's all right. We got all week. That when you combine all of these things together, as Alan Gottlieb told us last night, this, and as I've said, the genie's out of the bottle. Alan said, I don't see this getting any better. And he's talking about mainstream press, divisive rhetoric. This stuff is all out now. You know, when people didn't have these anonymous devices and couldn't hide behind this stuff, they would have never said the things that we read in these despicable places on these online forums and these social media platforms. They would have never said these things at a cocktail party in the street, down the street. Everybody came home, you know, you had a block party when you were kids, maybe, right? Down at the Patterson's house in the cul-de-sac, they were putting it on this week, maybe for the 4th of July. The adults mingled. Yeah, they'd maybe have talked politics, but there was no divisive rhetoric. People kept it to themselves. They would never say the things that they say on social media to their neighbor. They wouldn't do it. Their bigotry emerges. I know. I see it. You should see some of the things they call me. You better have a thick skin if you're on there, especially if you're doing it like I am in the public eye. You got to let this stuff roll right off of you. So we're in a dangerous place. We're in a dangerous place. I tone it down just a little bit during the break, kind of bring this hour to a close that way. Because if we don't do these things, if we don't tone it down, which I don't think we can, by the way, I'm going to be very pessimistic there. The genie's escaped. When you have a political party in the Democrats that exploit as part of their platform the murder of American citizens so that they can push a part of their political agenda, I don't think we're ever going to get it back. Civility as we knew it is done. It's finished. Do I have faith in my fellow man? Of course I do. I have to. If I don't, if we don't, we won't be able to go on. But I'll issue you a dire warning right now. America is in a very dangerous place. Society, our society, is being tested. Our republic is being stressed. We are being put to the test, and it is possible that we may fail. Right now, we're going to have to do some things to raise the grade, because right now we're getting an F. We do not understand some of the things that are going on around us. We do not understand the mindset of a Dayton, Ohio killer. We do not understand the mindset of an El Paso killer. We do not understand the mind of a California garlic festival wannabe killer. Killer. Killed three. We don't get this. We don't understand it. We don't understand how all of these pieces are working in unison. Rob Pincus said it great last night on the program. He said this orchestra that's being played, and the music's not real nice, but it's almost like a dance that's being done. And we don't understand it. And as I told Gary Jeff Walker on the Bill Cunningham show earlier today, I believe my final words on that interview were, we had better get a handle on this quickly. This is not about banning firearms. It has nothing to do with it. Nothing. But we had better get a handle on this mindset. Yeah, that's right. When it comes to firearms, I can hear that listener right now telling me, we're not getting rid of guns in America. It isn't going to happen. There are hundreds of millions of them here. They're not going away. Wake up and become intellectually honest. If you want to have a debate or a discussion, you have to start from a position of honesty and you have to show some integrity. This ridiculous ban isn't going to work. And it's not going to happen. Hundreds of millions of firearms in the hands of 100 million people who harmed nobody are not the problem. And as I told Gary today, we had better get a handle on this, and we'd better do it quickly, or we're looking at the downfall of a once great nation. Yeah, pretty sad, isn't it? Didn't want to hear that, did you? I'm telling you to wake up. Think about it. Start looking at it critically. We're going to wake up and do it again tomorrow. See you on the radio.